Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Welcome to the Bill and Wendy Show. It's not Bill and Wendy, though.
You do not sound like Bill, and
no,
I do not sound like Wendy.
Try to do a Bill impression.
You know,
he's so good, I can't. Anyway, I'm Frank Fontana. That's Kathy Hart.
Wendy and I might have similar Chicago accents.
If you smoked about 20 packs of cigarettes a day, she does.
No, but she does have that raspy voice.
She has that Nikki, what's her name, that rock and roll chick's voice.
What rock and roll chick?
Blonde. Stevie Nicks?
Stevie Nicks.
Oh, Stevie Nicks.
Thank you.
I call her Nikki Nicks.
Nikki Nicks.
Same thing.
Steve Bertrand, what's up? Steve, happy birthday to your son, by the way. 21.
21, we're out of the woods.
Woo!
Are you going out tonight, Steve?
Yeah. Doing shots?
Shot skis, I think. Sure, absolutely.
What is the protocol for when a son turns 21 and the dad takes... I mean, do you have a set plan for him? Have you thought about this? It's a big day, Steve.
Does he want to go out with his dad?
We're going to go out as a family for dinner. I think he and his girlfriend are going to go out this weekend because he's working, but...
You're supposed to take him for his, quote, first drink.
Right. Yeah.
Agreed.
I've done that before.
Although...
Where was
I? I was going to say,
In Ohio. In Ohio, you can take your kids to the bar.
Yeah. All right.
Like you Wisconsin. Can still?
Yeah.
I remember you could in Wisconsin.
Yep. In Ohio, you can do it. I think you still can in Wisconsin, too.
Wow.
So he goes to school there. So, yeah, that's not a big deal. But, you know, to me, 19, 20, those are trap years when you're, you know, if you're going to have some drinks, you're going to drink or do whatever you're going to do. And then the penalties are just extraordinary. So I'm just so glad he's got to 21 and now he can do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah,
not
times
that he's a big partier, but yeah.
So much from when we grew up and started drinking.
At 13.
Right, when they would give you a slap or, you know, look the other way. You know, now you can lose your license for a few years, these things.
The cop would follow you home just to make sure you made it safely.
He'd dump the bottle out on the street first.
Right.
Not in Chicago.
Oh, the good old days.
They'd follow me home. Oh, God. Thanks, Steve. Well, say happy birthday to yourself.
We'll do it.
Yes, happy birthday.
Kath?
All right, for the best holiday gift you can
send. What are you doing? We're not there yet.
Oh, we're not doing this
yet? I just want to say hi to you.
Oh, shoot. Hi, Frank.
Hi. But good. I'm glad you're ready.
I'm prepared, I guess.
Ready for that read.
I'm so confused with the format, like when we read what
we're getting there. So there's a couple breaks in between.
All
there's,
that kind of stuff.
Like in an hour, there's four breaks. Anyway, you'll hear them. Right. We have a great show today. I'm really excited about this because I'm a fan of this guy.
Eric Roberts, the actor.
Yeah. Love his movies.
So a lot of people get confused about the connection with Julia Roberts. So he's about, I think, 10 years older than his sister, Julia Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they have the same parents. I think they might. He is the father to Emma Roberts, the actor.
Big actress, yeah.
Actress. Actor, yeah, whatever.
Or, I'm sorry, actor.
Yeah, whatever. That's a fancy way of saying it. And so we're going to be talking with Eric Roberts and his wife, Eliza. And she was an actress at some point, but now she's on to, I think
she's... What was the movie that she was in?
Casting director. Oh, she was in Animal House.
A brief stint in it, right?
Yeah, yeah. So she's had some roles here and there, but now she's doing casting and some great charity stuff, which we're going to talk to them about at 11:30.
What was your favorite movie of Eric's?
Oh, man.
I'm totally putting you on the spot.
I don't know. Like, I'm trying to remember... I can't even remember the movie I saw last week, let alone an Eric Roberts movie.
Let's ask our friends and fans in WGN Radio. Folks, what is your favorite Eric Roberts movie? I could tell you mine right off the bat, which is The Pope of Greenwich Village.
When was that out?
1984.
Wow, you remember.
I do, when I was
young.
That
had an impact on you.
It did. I was born in 73.
Okay.
So what was I?
11.
11. Maybe I didn't see it at 11, but I probably saw it maybe at 15.
You know, I do think that 10 and 11 is an age where movies have more of an impact on you because you're just kind of getting things. So I don't know if I've even seen it. What was it about?
It was about these two buddies. And maybe because I was born in New York and grew up in New York.
Okay.
And it took place in Greenwich Village, New York. And it just my friends were like those kind of guys. And they were like knock around guys in the neighborhood. And he stole money from the mob. And
did you steal money from the mob?
Never. That I will admit to.
Right.
And then he gets chased and all this stuff, and it's a great movie, phenomenal. You got to watch. I'm going to rewatch it myself. Nature of the Beast of a Texter is saying is one of their favorite movies.
I need to see more Eric Roberts movies.
And then switching gears, talking Bears.
Yeah, go Desmond Bears. Clark. I love Desmond Clark.
He's joining us to talk about all things Bears.
Yeah, getting ready for the playoffs. How many more games do they have in the regular season? Two?
You are asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, you're not a sports guy.
No.
At
if you ask me about Premier League Soccer, World Cup, yes.
Oh, really? You're a soccer guy?
I'm a soccer guy.
Oh, who's your favorite team?
I like AC Milan. I like Juventus, not just because of Ronaldo's presence on the team, but I've always followed Juventus in Italian league soccer.
Oh, he's one of the hot guys, isn't he?
He's the guy Ronaldo. With the legs.
And Christian Louboutin. What's his name?
No, that's the shoes. What's Christian Louboutin. Cristiano Ronaldo is the same guy.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. That's funny. Yeah, he's pretty hot.
And then, you know, there's an article that came out about, you know, Chicago is always known as the best foodie town and city in America. But lately, it's losing its footing.
You know what? And that's why we're bringing Kiki in. And we're not going to. She needs to do something about the last name. We're just going to call her Kiki.
Kiki Lou, like she does on, Kiki Lou, on Instagram.
And I want to call her Kiki, the concierge of all things Chicago, because she knows all the restaurants. So she's going to tell us everything coming up in 2019. She's going to talk about the Chicago restaurant scene and where it's really at. So it'll be fun to talk to her.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Let's get things started. We'll take a quick break, and then Desmond Clark from the Chicago Bears is going to be joining us. We'll be right back.
It's time to Bear Down with your Chicago Bears' very own Desmond Clark.
Yeah.
Hey, Desmond.
Hi, Desmond.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing fantastic, buddy. What's the good word?
Oh, man, the good word is that the Bears are in the playoffs and we North, NFC North champs. That's the best word that I have.
Dang right, man. It's about time.
Chicago's bear crazy again.
Hey, that's the way it's supposed to be.
So, refresh my memory. When did you play for the... You were a tight end?
Yep, tight end from 03 to 2010.
Got it. Okay, and there was a Super Bowl in there, correct?
Yep. There was that little year when we won 13 games and beat the Saints in the NFC Championship game and went down and played Indianapolis in the Super Bowl, yeah.
Oh, what an exciting year that had to be for you.
It was amazing. It still is, and probably will forever be the highlight of my professional career as an athlete, or my entire professional or amateur career as an athlete.
So, Desmond, obviously being there, you know what that feels like. You know what the energy leading up to those moments are like. When you watch this team today in 2018, do you get the same vibe?
You do. So the year before, you know, we went 11-5, but we started off like 1-3 or something like that. And each week in 05 and 06, it just kept building and building. The excitement just kept getting more. It's like, all right, we know we're good, but we're proving to ourselves that we are even better than maybe we thought we were, or, you know, we showing more, you know, of a just a will to win week in and week out. And that stuff builds upon each win, and you just get more excited and more excited. You get more confidence and more confidence. And you can see that's the same thing that's happening to this team. It seems like every time they win a game, they just get a little bit more confident in their ability to go out and beat whoever is on the schedule for the next week.
So it seems like there's a lot of new guys that have not seen a playoff situation playing for the Chicago Bears. What would your advice be for them to not get caught up in all the excitement and the importance of those games in the playoffs? What would your advice be to them?
One of the things that I always disagree with is people say, oh, don't get caught up in the excitement. No, get caught up in the excitement. Get caught up in the buildup. Get caught up in the moment for where you're at right now. Get caught up in, hey, what I've achieved up to this point, and then get caught up in what you got to do next to build on that. I love to see these guys after every game, you know, celebrating those victories. It's hard to win in NFL, but what it does, it gives you an appetite to want more. So I love to see these guys doing that, because now it's all about the party after the game. But you can't have that party unless you win.
Sure.
I love it. I love every minute of it. But it keeps them. It also keeps them in the moment, because there is, you know, that celebration. But most importantly, they know that they got to win the game to have that celebration.
Hey, Desmond, I agree with you 100%, man. I love the idea you're feeling that and you're using that energy to, you know, to bring it to the field. How, you know, we've been through a couple coaches. You know, we weren't successful under the old regime. You know, a new regime is in. Really, how important is it in the leadership role versus talent, right? Is it just that it's a better team, or is it a better coach, or is it better everything?
Well, it's a combination of all of those things. One of the things that I see that this team has in common to some of the good teams when, you know, I was there with Levy and the Bears is, first of all, the coach, he's not a micromanager. We all see on his call sheet the slogan, "Be You." Levy also had the same type of mantra. He let us be men. He always said that he's going to let us be men. But with that, you got to have leadership within the ranks. And we had great leadership. We had Brian Urlacher. We had Olin Krupps and a number of other, I mean, in each position group there was a leader. And it seems like this team, they have that same leadership. In the past, I don't know if they had the quality leadership within the ranks of the team. So that's hard to just say, okay, you guys go out and be you if you don't have the leadership to police each other and make sure that everybody's staying on track.
Who are the leaders?
The coach doesn't have to do that.
Of the team, of this team now?
Oh, undoubtedly. You got your Khalil Mack. You got your Danny Trevathan. On the offensive side of the ball, I mean, you brought in a guy like Allen Robinson that's been there. You have veterans on that offensive line. You have a quarterback that's young, but it seems like he has stepped up and embraced that role of the face of the franchise. And really, for him to be so young, he's showing that he is a leader. He's showing that he's okay with being the face. So, and those are just a few guys. I'm sure Howard's been there, although he's young. He's showing that he could be a leader, because look at the change of his role from the first 2 years to this year. And you haven't heard a peep out of him. You just see him going out there and playing. And that's leadership in itself.
Interesting. Desmond, who do you think is going to give the Bears the biggest run for that Super Bowl? Who do you think is their biggest nemesis right now?
I would say it's really us.
Yeah.
There is no team out there that I look at that I say, you know what, this is just a better team. You look at New Orleans Saints, some people may say that, but when I think about it, we have a defense that could play with anyone. And when I say us, I'm really looking at the offensive side of the ball first and saying, if the offensive side of the ball executes like it should, we'll beat anybody. And then, but then secondarily, we've seen the defense have some hiccups some games also. If we are playing and we're hitting on all cylinders, we're our only competition out there. I really, truly believe that about this team. You take a team like L.A. Rams and just shut them down like we did.
Yeah.
There's no one out there that we should be saying, okay, well, man, if we get this team, you know, this is going to be the toughest team we face. No, the team that's in Chicago is the toughest team that we face with executing day in and day out and getting there on Sunday and doing it at an excellent level.
Well, they're really exciting to watch. Bears, Niners coming up Sunday, 3:05, right? And then final game of the regular season against the Vikings, December 30th.
That's going to be a good one. Looking forward to that
game.
That's
going to be a real good one. I think the San Francisco game is going to be a real good one, man. This San Francisco team, it's not an easy win. So don't just chalk this one up as an easy win and we're going to get to victory number 11. They got to go out and they got to play well. And it's important for them to play well against this team, because you want to be playing at an all-time level for this season right now.
Well, I would think all these teams are up in their game to play at that level. So I agree with you, man. No one's going to come in and be an easy win at any point from here on forward.
Right. I mean, but usually when you have a team like San Francisco, they lost their quarterback. You know, they know they're not going anywhere. It's late in the season. You'll see some teams that kind of meld it in. But San Francisco is not one of those teams. You just look at their last four games. They've been in every game. They've won a few games. And they're tough. They're a tough team to beat in San Francisco.
We've only got a couple more minutes, but I know you've got something coming up on January 24th, which is going to be perfect timing, right between the conference. Between the conference championships and the Super Bowl, the Ultimate Bear Experience. Tell us about that, Desmond.
Oh, the Ultimate Bear Experience is for those Chicago Bear fans, those Soldier Field fans, the fans of Desmond Clark. I'm taking you out to Soldier Field on a behind-the-scenes tour that you've never seen before, that you would never have access to unless you come with me. And then we're going to have dinner after that at Bronzeville Community Club, Clubhouse. And that's all going to happen on January 24th. And then we got a VIP package where we're going to be taking you around in some luxury vehicles back and forth to the event and then do a helicopter tour of Soldier Field and downtown Chicago. It's going to be a great day for any Bear fan, any Chicago fan, any Desmond Clark fan. Just look for you to come out.
Sounds fantastic. Fun. How do you get involved in that? Is there a website?
There is a website, and it's easy, DesmondClark88.com. All the information is on there. You can buy tickets on there. Limited amount of tickets, limited amount of space, so it's something that you want. And it's a great Christmas gift for a Bear fan also, so check it out.
Now you're thinking, Des. I like it.
And how do people find you on social?
Oh, absolutely. You got to promote, right?
That's it, man. Yep. And speaking of which, where can they find you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram?
All of that is DesClark88, D-E-Z. My last name, Clark88, on all social media.
Excellent.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, Desmond.
All right. Thank you guys for having me on.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, Merry
Go
Christmas.
Bears.
Same to you.
Woo!
Hey, 2019 is going to be a good one, right?
That's it, man. Let's do this.
Yes, Bear down.
All right. So thanks, Desmond. Welcome back to the Bill and Wendy Show. I'm Frank Fontana. Kathy Hart sitting right next to me.
Hello.
And it's time to address the big news that broke this week, Kathy.
Yeah, I was a little surprised when I saw the headline from Chicago Magazine about the Chicago food scene basically being dead. And then
shocking.
Cranes did a bit of a rebuttal. So we thought, okay, a lot of people are thinking about restaurants for 2019. Things to do over the holidays with restaurants. And a friend of mine, Kiki Lutheringshausen.
Is that correct?
Thank you.
I practiced.
You could have butchered it.
I butchered it earlier.
No pun intended.
Right. A lot of people do. But you are like my go-to. Chicago foodie is probably the best way.
I'm everybody's go-to for reservations for...
Is that annoying? Like when Kathy calls you? Kiki, can you get me into RPM?
Like, I'm so-and-so. How can I get in? What's a new restaurant to take people?
Everybody texts me for reservations.
Yeah.
Who are you? What's your background? What makes you this mysterious person for reservations?
I like it. Who are you and why are you here?
What is your purpose on this earth, Kiki?
To get everyone reservations.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you've been in the food scene for a long time.
Yeah, probably just over a decade. I switched. But yeah, no, I love it. It's a great industry to be in. It's a very tight-knit community, especially here in Chicago. And I really enjoy it. And I got into it and they embraced me. And a few of the chefs love and hate me. They love to hate me. So I have they're a great group of people.
Why would they hate you? I'm just curious.
I mean, you'll find out probably in the next 10 minutes.
So in like the next 10 minutes, I'm going to hate you? Awesome. Yeah. I can't wait.
Places to go, places to not go.
Yeah. I'm wondering, or do you set up critics too? Like, do you set up food reviews?
Being in PR and marketing, you have to set up, media requests, media reservations, that sort of thing. So, you work with everybody.
And so, like, do you ever book a critic and then the chef's really mad because it was a bad review of something?
Sure, that happens.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens with this article that came out. I don't specifically work with that.
What restaurant was it? Was it a specific restaurant or?
Oh, that article, that particular writer wrote about several different restaurant groups here in Chicago.
And just talking about how restaurant groups are kind of taking away the personality of the individual restaurants along those lines?
Yeah, I think he sort of wanted to get into how, Chicago is losing its luster in the restaurant scene across the board in the industry. And I think he sort of wanted to look at across the board how, they're not taking advantage of the farmers markets and, looking at the menus and what's happening with menus and, what's happening in Los Angeles, what's happening in New York, and what the chefs are doing in those parts of the country, and what we're not taking advantage of here. And, you know, we do have a really great talent pool here in Chicago, and what they're not doing. And, you know, I don't think he was completely off in certain aspects of that article.
What data was he basing this on? Just his own assumptions and experience? Or is he basing revenue?
I think that he's a great writer. I don't think he was off in the article on some of the points that he was making. I think there was a lot of validity to the article. But he's a new writer here in Chicago, and so I think, you know, he came out with Guns Loaded.
Explains a lot. As soon as you said new writer in Chicago, that explains a lot.
Clickbait kind of thing.
I think we don't have a lot of writers here in Chicago. You know, the writer community here is also been around for a long time, and a lot of the writers know a lot of the chefs, and you know, it's a very intertwined community.
Sure.
And so when you come here to Chicago and you come out with that article, sort of you take a step back and say,
He's stirring it up.
I did that when I first moved to Chicago. I was filming Design on a Dime with HGTV, and I was writing for the Chicago Sun-Times. I had a design column, and my very first column was, "What is Chicago style? ?"
Okay.
I got so many people angry. How dare you not, you know, like...
Oh, because you didn't know?
Well, I just moved here, and I was like, okay, I know what L.A. is, I know what New York is, I know what Miami is.
Chicagoans are very loyal, and they do not like... They don't embrace outsiders easily. You have to earn it. And it sounds like it's a similar situation with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one part in particular, I think that really struck a chord was, you know, he went after the chefs and how they were utilizing produce and the farmers markets. And I think, you know, I had brunch this weekend with a couple of people in the food industry. And, you know, one of the things they pointed out was, you know, a lot of these chefs, they actually grow their own produce. So he was saying how he was at the farmers market and he never sees the chefs at the farmers market utilizing and taking advantage of these, you know, farmers and their produce. And one of the people I had brunch with said, well, what he didn't really look into is the fact that, you know, Joe Frillman of Daisy's and Kevin Hickey of Duck Inn and some of these chefs, they grow their own produce. Joe Frillman, he has his own farm.
Wow.
And, they actually take advantage of their own produce. So maybe if he had looked into it and actually called around to some of these chefs and said, where do you actually get your produce from? Mm-hmm. Where do you get your vegetables from? Maybe he would have known that, you know, 6 or 7 of these farmers, they grow their own stuff.
You're seeing that more and more, especially in Chicago with a lot of the rooftop gardens that they've got going on. All right. Well, I want to talk about restaurants and food and get into that whole aspect of it.
Let's do it.
Do you have a top 10 list for us or a top 5?
You know, it's funny. I was actually sitting in the car, getting out of the car, and I was like, they're going to ask me what my favorite restaurants are. Every time somebody asks me, I'm always like, wait a second.
That's a hard question. I'm totally drawing
a blank.
What is it this week? Because it has to change.
You know, it does change all the time. And
not biased to any clients that you have, by the way.
It's not. You know, it does change. I do have like old favorites that I always love that have been around.
Like?
I always love GT Fish and Oyster.
Okay. Giuseppe?
Giuseppe Tintori. Yes. Mm. That's always one of our favorites. And even when my kids are home, we always love going there because we're big oyster fans. Bill Kim, love Urban Belly.
Mm.
Always love going there.
Mm-hmm.
I actually love Somerset, which is new in the Gold Coast. They have Chef Lee Wolin does a smoked beet tartare, which the smoking the beets changes the flavor of the beets a little bit.
Oh,
that's one of my favorite dishes.
I have been to that place, and one of the reasons I like
it's a beautiful restaurant too.
Food
Two
was
floors.
Phenomenal.
Yeah,
great location, and one of the reasons I liked it is because when I walked in, they had Led Zeppelin, and it was I'm like, what? A nice restaurant like this, and they're playing Led. It was just a good vibe.
Boca restaurants always has good playlists.
Yeah.
Do you have any lists that involve restaurants to go to when your children are 4 and 7? Because all these fancy places you guys are talking about, I have no idea what you're talking about.
So I always get emails from people like for, you know, requests for that sort of thing.
Yeah, that are cool enough, but not
like... You
know
where I send people for kids is Summerhouse.
Summerhouse.
Yes, on Halsted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Summerhouse is a great place to go with kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite one of my favorite places to go, and a lot of people don't know about it, is Chef Joe Furlman's place, is Daisy's. I love Daisy's for homemade pasta.
Oh,
I don't know if you've ever been there.
Where are these? Can you get like Daisy's on
Daisy's is on Milwaukee. It's Logan Square.
Okay.
That is, it's a small restaurant, but I think Joe Furlman does a great job in town.
Okay.
Now this place is going to be super crowded and I'm not going to get a reservation.
But you can always
call
yourself.
Yeah, no, I do. I will get a reservation. I'll make sure Joe gets me a reservation. Lula Cafe. Everybody knows Lula in town. It's been around forever, but that is Jason Hamill. That's also Logan Square.
How about Italian food?
Italian food.
Why?
So,
you like Italian food?
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, really?
Frank Fontana?
Frank Fontana?
I can tell you my favorite in town.
Okay, what is it? Tell me.
It's probably not the one you're going to think of, but Lascarole.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Why did you know?
Because everybody loves it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The best pasta vajol you will ever eat in your life.
I love pasta vajol.
They must dump about 12 pounds of Parmesan cheese on top of it.
The best.
That's what makes it. Because, I mean, I've tasted everywhere I go, and I always hope it's going to be somewhat as good as Las Carolas, but no. Rosebud's good, too. I like Rosebud. Yep. I know,
Olive Garden.
Alex, Dana, personally.
They have a good pasta vajol.
Olive Garden.
Kathy.
Oh, back to your suburb.
So I'm going to have security escort
Olive escort her out. Thank you, Kiki. I appreciate the support on that one.
I know.
I like Fermentos over in West Loop, and I also, Daisy's, as we just said. And where else do we go for Italian? Piccolo Sogno.
Yes.
Piccolo Sogno's also great still.
Good pasta. Yeah. What about, steak in Chicago? I mean, come on. There's so many great steakhouses.
I know. That's sort of like, we just have to have a steak conversation for that, right?
Yeah, that's
why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break and then have that steak conversation?
Yes.
All right.
And I want to find out about the new places coming in 2019.
All right, let's do it. I have a great list for that.
Excellent.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Welcome back to the Bill and Wendy Show. Filling in for Bill and Wendy while they're taking a couple of days off. Kathy Hart, myself, Frank Fontana.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
That's right. Coming up, folks, after 11, we have the very famous actor, legendary Hollywood star, Eric Roberts, and his wife, Eliza, joining us.
Yeah, they're going to be talking about a charity function coming to town.
Yeah.
So we'll get full details on that and talk to him. I'm going to want so badly to talk to him about, like, Julia Roberts and his daughter, Emma Roberts, but then be respectful.
I bet he's probably not going to go there.
To his event.
Let's try.
Well, I'm sure he's used to it,
yeah.
But we'll just do it in a fun way. So, yeah, they're coming up at 11:30.
Awesome. But right now, we're talking more food with Kiki. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. Let me just try. Lutheringhausen?
Yes. Close. Mm-hmm. You forgot an S. Lutheringhausen.
Yes.
Right?
It's both. You can do it both ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I like Kiki Lou.
Kiki Lou.
That's how you are on Instagram, right? Kiki Lou Feasts?
Kiki Lou Feasts.
Into friends. Kiki Lou.
All right.
So
steaks.
We want a feast. We were talking steaks in Chicago.
Yes.
Your go-to. If someone's coming in from out of town and they're bringing family, and you have to recommend one place, what would it be?
Oh, you guys are going to kill me when I give you this answer. Well, I have a couple, though.
Okay.
It depends on who it is.
And maybe the neighborhood. Maybe they're looking River North.
Yeah, that's what it is. It really
Gold
is.
Coast.
It's neighborhood dependent.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give you a couple?
Yeah, sure. For sure.
Okay.
Why are we going to kill you? Because you're going to do more than one?
No, she's probably going to do some, like old school lame named restaurant that
well,
nobody knows about.
Well, so, you know, being more of like the food person, I do have a couple. Mm-hmm. So I usually do GT Prime because they specialize in different cuts of meat like bison and venison.
Ooh,
and,
I'm a bison fan.
Yeah. So
And don't they do like a sample platter from
what I remember? They do a sample platter. So that's why, you know, I like sending people there.
Okay.
Swift and Sons, which is in the West Loop.
Mm-hmm.
I love Buff House.
Buff House, where's that?
So that's over in, like, off of Western, so it's really far west, but it's more of like a neighborhood steakhouse, which I really love, and they have really great other, like, side dishes, and they have pastas on the menu, which is really interesting.
Okay.
Bavette's.
You've been to Bavette's? I have not heard of any of these.
Yeah.
I'm so lame.
Can't go wrong with Bavette's as well.
Bavette's, yeah.
I mean, that's why you had me come in.
Exactly.
Now I know.
Yeah. Whole list.
Yeah, Prime and Provisions, which I think is definitely like more of the, you know, definitely suit and tie kind of guys, kind of place to go, not to be.
So if I'm out of the loop, right? I'm a dad in suburbs with young kids, and I don't really get to go out in the city as much as I'd like to anymore. you know, let's talk a little bit about etiquette protocol, right? I'm not the guy that the maitre d' is going to see every weekend that comes to the bar and drinks with them. So he's not going to take the extra special time with me or let me in when it's super busy.
Now, wait, are you coming in with your kids? Your young kids?
No, this is a really big backstory, by the way.
Yeah, so yeah, I got to set it up. So that, you know, it's just me and my wife, let's just say.
Got
and
it.
It's we're super busy.
Yeah.
I mean, is it still okay to, like, you know, take the maitre d's hand, put your hand on his shoulder, stick a 20 in your palm and be like, "Hey, Joey."
First of all, $20 is going to get you into the bathroom.
You're serious?
Faster.
Jesus.
Frank,
Christmas.
Cheapy?
Yeah.
Really?
It's Chicago.
$20 is pretty good for letting me
that
sit down.
That doesn't work with the valet anymore.
Wow.
Let alone the maitre d'.
See, I'm stuck in the suburbs and apparently stuck in time.
They don't do that at Olive Garden.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
So what? All right. So if I am going to attempt, you know, a little bribery to get into the restaurant, what am I looking at here? What am I looking to spend?
About $100.
Good gracious.
What do you expect? I mean,
I'm not cheap, but $100 just to seat me?
Hey, if you want to get in and it's a hot spot. But I mean, do
I'll
they really do
Olive
that?
Garden.
Do they like slip it in their hand? Like, how do you even? I would be so awkward. It would be so obvious that I'm
doing
it.
There are people that do it, but it's really not a thing you want to do. I mean, there are people that do it. Yeah. I saw somebody do it recently and it's, you don't want to do it.
See, why don't you want to do it?
Yeah. Do you ever get rejected?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be horrible.
When you offer $20.
The maitre d' looks down at his palm. He's like, dude, get out of here.
Yeah.
You're never coming in here.
Stuffy.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. All right. So if I'm going to do it, it's $100. And then I may still get rejected at $100.
Yeah.
I would imagine you've got to like charm them. You can't just come
in
and be
all
cocky.
It also really only, I think it really only works. I don't have a lot of experience with this, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Mostly, you don't need it.
Yeah, mostly because I don't need it. But, although now everybody's going to be calling me later going,
right.
Kiki, why did you have this conversation on air? But I think it really only works at these big restaurants.
Okay, right. That where they're used to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't
and
want to
I
go,
don't want to name names, but...
Can you name one?
No, I'm not going to name one.
Yeah, we probably
I'm going to get killed later.
There's a couple that came to mind, but...
Yeah, but you don't... It's not really something you want to be known for, either.
Oh, just go to Open Table.
Although
you mean,
Open
you don't want to be known as the guy that bribes maitre d's?
Yeah.
I think that would be
good. I mean, maybe
just make a damn reservation, I guess.
3 weeks in advance.
The lesson here.
Yeah.
Yeah, or go on Open Table and then they'll have an open table at 4:30 or 10:30.
I see. I got to be honest with you. I only go to restaurants that I know ownership.
Well,
a lot of
look
times.
At you.
Well,
because I want to be.
Look
I want
at you is right.
My feelings, if I'm going to go in there and spend my hard-earned money, I want to be treated right. You know, and not that I'm snooty or anything, but you know, I know that when I go to places that I know the ownership, they're going to, you know, they always send that extra couple appetizers, they send a bottle of wine or something
or
like
dessert
that.
Or something.
Yeah, you know what? The best advice I give to people is be a good customer and go to the places that you know and the places that you like, and just be a good diner. And, like, tip well. That's
okay,
the
hold
other
on.
Thing.
Tipping. Oh. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
What is a good tip? Let's just say my bill's $250.
I mean, tip 20%, and then when you go in regularly, sometimes tip over. I mean, these people, like, they live off of their tips.
Yeah.
And, like, the worst thing, and, you know, people say, like, don't tip on, I mean, obviously, if you're ordering, like, really, really expensive bottles of wine, you don't need to, like, go crazy on the expensive bottle of wines, but...
As far as the 20% tip?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, when people are ordering, like, a $500 bottle of wine, they're not expecting you to tip... You know, crazy on that. But, you know, I've seen people really under tip and it's embarrassing. Like, I'll pay attention. You know, when you split a bill and I always say, what are you leaving? Because you want to make sure if they're like under tipping.
You got to make up the difference.
I'm making up the difference.
For sure.
Because you know,
it's your name, too.
Yeah.
Hey, our text line is 312-981-7200. What are your guys' protocol for tipping? Do you agree with Kiki? Should it be 20%?
No, I think.
Across the board.
It seems like it's
or more.
Absolutely 20%, if not
at
more.
At the minimum.
If it's a nice restaurant and you're getting fantastic service.
Do you always overtip?
Yeah, because, and now... I grew up like waitressing, like since I was 14 or something. I don't know. I don't even think it was legal to be a waitress at that time. Now it's called service. You can't even say waitress, right? That's like bad to say. So
sure.
Yeah, they don't call it that anymore.
No. But back in the day, so I 100% appreciate the work that goes into it.
This is fun. We could do this again for sure. Yeah. You got to come on our Sunday show.
I will.
Talk food with us.
Real quick, some of the hot spots for 2019.
Yeah, we have about 30 seconds. Crank them out.
Okay. So we have Hush Money is opening, which is a Matthias Merges. That's going to be a bar that's opening up at Hotel Zachary up in Wrigleyville.
Okay.
RPM is opening up another on the water.
Oh, that's right.
Stephanie Izard is opening up a new restaurant.
Oh.
Which is going to be a Peruvian, her take on Peruvian food.
Wow.
Machine, which is going to be a new restaurant opening up in Wicker Park area, which is going to be helmed by Trevor Hoyt. That is going to have a really interesting component to it, which is going to have a floral cart that's going to be around, coming around to your table. So you're going to be able to like build your own flower arrangements.
Oh, wow.
Hmm. Which is going to be really interesting.
I think we can put most of these on the website, right?
Yeah, let's do that. We'll put them up on WGN Radio Facebook page.
There's a few more, and I can give those to you guys that you can put up on. We have about like four more big restaurants that are going to be opening up.
Okay.
Sweet. How can people find you online?
My Instagram is Kiki Lou Feasts, and then my company is Spoonfed Agency, and so I have the website is Be Spoonfed, and we're going to be actually starting a blog, and so I'll put some stuff up on there as well.
Excellent.
Awesome. And if people want your cell phone to get you reservations, why don't you give that out too?
So let me give you that number.
Anyway, all right, coming up, Thanks, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. It's my jam, Kath.
I like it.
I'm Frank Fontana. That's Kathy Hart. We're sitting in for Bill and Wendy today.
Yes, we are.
They're on their Christmas break.
Good for them.
I think till the 2nd. That's a nice long break.
Wow. I wonder if they're going to... Steve, Mary, do you guys know if they're going anywhere, Bill and Wendy?
They always travel together.
Yeah. It's required. Right. It's in their contract. Right. That'd be a disaster.
That would be.
I don't think they are. I don't know if they are traveling. I don't think so.
Oh, I haven't heard. I don't remember.
Wendy's a stay-at-home gal. She cooks a lot.
Oh, that's nice.
Believe it or not. Yeah, she's good, supposedly.
I bet on vacation you want to do a lot of cooking, right?
Sure.
If you're home. If you finally have the time to be home, especially holidays. Mary, was it you? I heard you have a bunch of cookies to bake.
I'm baking. Cooking, I don't like to cook. I'll bake, but cooking, ugh.
Did you bring any cookies in yet?
Friday, I'm bringing them. Are you here Friday?
I'll make sure I am now.
I know. Coming in now.
Yeah, I got to make like 7 different kinds, so it takes me a couple days.
I've had them last year, and I was very happy.
Oh, God.
What's your favorite go-to cookie, Mary?
Peanut butter kisses. The ones with the Hershey Kiss in the middle?
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They have all those. They have all different names.
Yeah. They call them, I forgot what somebody
thumbprint?
Else called them this morning. Yeah, thumbprint cookies.
There's a thumbprint, yeah. Those are good.
Yeah, they're good. Of course, the sugar cookies are always everybody's favorite, so you got to make those.
Have you guys ever done the DNA testing that like 23andMe or any of those companies out there like that?
Yeah, I did the last year.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
So without getting too personal, can I ask why?
Because I'm all man.
You don't have to answer, but... No, I think a lot of people have different reasons. I know it's a good holiday gift.
I got it as a gift.
That's what happened, Kathy. So I gave it to my son and daughter, I think, or someone. A couple of people, and then
well,
there
don't
was,
they know where they came from?
Actually, they siblings
I hope
can vary.
So.
they can vary a little bit. But so I wanted to do it, so I just did it for myself because I wanted to. My wife and I always argue about. She's much more Irish than I am. But I wanted to prove a little bit that how much Irish I had in me.
Oh, funny.
Did you
win?
It?
Well, it came back. I was a little disappointed. It combined British and Irish. So I was 46% British and Irish.
Oh, so you can't figure out how much Irish and how much British?
No, and the Irish don't want to be British.
Really?
So I didn't break the particular one I took didn't break it down very well like that.
I heard there's an easier test in Chicago. It's how many shots can you withstand before you pass out, which determines how Irish you really are.
Oh my God!
Is what I heard.
Drinking shots. Okay, yeah, for a drinking. Second I'm like, Frank, where are you going with this?
Drinking shots.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, okay.
We're gonna do Italian slurs now,
let's
Frank.
Let's do it. Let's do it, man. For us Italians, how many meatballs can you put down before you pass out?
When do you move out of Maj?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know if you guys looked at the full report because I actually did one too, and I did one for my son who's adopted because for obvious reasons.
Okay.
And then I did some for just some medical stuff to see if I was susceptible to certain things. But did you guys actually look at the full report and see some of the things that
anything shocking come out
that they include?
I didn't get the health version.
Yeah, I didn't do the medical version. That's the more expensive version.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the reason I did it. So I had to go all
sure,
in.
Sure, right.
And if anybody else, you can share with us, 312-981-7200, if you found out something in your DNA test that you had no idea or that was just comical. Because some of the things that they actually test, ability to match musical pitch, cheek dimples... And at first, I'm like...
Top or bottom?
I know. I got one on my ass.
You beat me to it, Steve. You beat me to it.
Right. And this says likely no dimples. I'm like, ha, wrong. Well, and again, I'm talking the one on my ass. But cilantro taste aversion? Earwax type?
How do you test earwax type?
It's insane. There's this whole list. I could go on and on. Mosquito bite frequency. Likely bitten more often than others. Mm. Toe length ratio. Unibrow. There's so many different things in here that just made
Hold
me
on.
Laugh.
So wait, you're saying that it's going to tell you if you are your offspring may be prone to a unibrow?
Yes, so you yourself, your own DNA.
But if you don't have one now, what makes you think
you don't need to spit in a cup for that?
Exactly.
No. Isn't in widow's peak, sneeze reflex, skin pigmentation, whether you like sweet versus salty. Although they were wrong on a couple of different things. They said hair thickness. I'm less likely to have thick hair. Nope, they nailed that one. I do not have thick hair. Misophonia, less likely to hate chewing sounds. That one completely not true. You guys have heard of misophonia, right? No?
Nope.
You haven't heard of it?
Never.
It's okay then. Do you guys have anybody in your household that certain noises will drive them crazy?
Like chewing noises?
Chewing noises.
That does bother me.
Fork on a plate when you're scraping it.
Oh,
or chomp that.
Yeah. Or at the
like
movie theater.
Sound?
Yes. People eating popcorn or smacking gum.
My son does that for a little, and he stopped doing it, but for a while I was like, man, you sound like a horse. You just sound like, and then my wife's uncle used to do it, and the whole family used to make like fun of him because he did sound like a horse when he ate. So maybe it's a real thing.
It's a condition.
It's a condition.
Misophonia. I just found it very interesting, all these different traits that are in your DNA. It's like, okay, I didn't necessarily need to know my toe length ratio, but thanks for including it.
So did you find anything like super shocking about yourself that you
You know what? I haven't gone through the whole thing yet. I was too taken by my mosquito bite frequency and my earwax type.
So like with the earwax type, I mean, I'm really curious.
Likely wet earwax.
Likely wet
earwax. For all of you that even care, like that's just gross.
Have you ever done ear candling?
Yes.
I just did. Sherry did it to me the other day. It's fascinating.
Your wife did it to you?
Yeah. You can get you can buy the cones in like Fruitfully Yield. And you light the top of them, and it extracts your earwax out.
Okay, that is a trusting relationship.
It is. She's good at it, though. If you ever want to get it done, she'll do it for you.
So what does it do? How exactly does for half
you
price?
You have to lay down on a pillow, and you stick this, literally, it's probably like a foot-long beeswax cone, and you light the tip of it. And you're supposed to put like a paper plate over your ear and poke a little hole in the paper plate, stick the sharper end of the cone into your ear. It's not sharp. That's going to hurt you. Make sure it's secure. And then you light the top. And then the heat pulls out the wax.
Oh.
And then you, at the end, you cut the cone open to, like, it's like a surprise. Like a little.
It's
like,
a surprise.
Like, it's like a Happy Meal surprise. You open it up and there's all your corroded earwax.
This is delightful talk. Yum.
But I can tell you, I felt good. I felt good afterwards. Like my equilibrium was good. And,
really?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to try that.
You'll be surprised.
I just dig deep with a Q-tip.
Oh,
do you ever dig
that's
so
gross.
No, do you ever dig so deep it's just. Oh, man. I'll never forget having a conversation with the singer John Mayer once.
Yeah.
And he talked about how sometimes Q-tip use is like orgasmic. And we all looked at him and were like, what?
Come on.
For real. That was years ago. And to this day, I still remember it. But
312-981-7200. What is your opinion on earwax being orgasmic? You're picking your ear being,
do you get it?
Being a thing.
Like when you put that Q-tip in there, it's just like,
yeah,
oh,
totally. It's 11:16. We got to take a break, and we'll talk about earwax when we come back.
Thank God.
Welcome back to the Bill and Wendy Show. Coming up after the 11:35 news break with Kim Gordon, Eric Roberts and his wife will be joining us to talk about a great charity they're involved with.
Yes, and Steve Pemberton is going to join in on that conversation because the movie coming out based on the book he wrote about his life in the foster care system and how he became such a huge success after. It's all part of it, so we're going to just put all these puzzle pieces together after 11:30.
I'm excited about this. But right now, let's talk about the most important thing, which is earwax.
I can't believe all these texts coming in.
Unbelievable response.
Who knew?
But yes, it's an amazing thing, earwax, and the removal and the process. Let's talk to Steve, who says his wife enjoys videos of earwax. Hey, Steve. What's going on, bud?
Hi. She's addicted to watching them on YouTube. Addicted.
So, like, which Seriously? Kind? Like what I explained my ear-candling experience. Is there more out there than that?
No, this is like... looks like they're medical professionals removing the earwax. They also tell you don't use Q-tips because mostly it pushes it down into the ear canal.
See, that's what I thought too, Steve. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm not supposed to do that.
I mean, there's a whole YouTube universe of people posting earwax removals.
Wow. Thanks for that little note, Steve. I'm going to do some research after the show.
That is pretty sick. And somebody else just said, from my wife who's listening, oh my God, change the subject or be fired.
There's a lot of great text coming in, too. How about this one? I use a small bent paper clip to clean the earwax.
A paper clip.
I love the feeling. It's calming and relaxing. My mom used to clean my...
ears when I was young with a paper clip?
I did. You know, now it just came back to me. In school... messing around, I would not like the, you know, you'd keep the one hooked bent end so it's like the rounded end that will actually go. I think that's the technique that we're unofficially describing here. I just kind of like scoop it and it feels good. Yeah.
No wonder they wanted us to change the subject.
No.
It's disgusting, but
here's the other one that kind of piggybacks is pimple popping and cyst popping.
Oh, don't even know. I can talk online? Earwax all day, but no. I do have a friend that and peeling skin.
Oh,
sunburned skin.
Those zit popping ones are horrible.
Oh my God, what have we done? They're never inviting us to come back.
Oh
my God.
Hey.
But apparently it's struck a chord.
You started with the whole massaging your ears with Q-tips.
Well, because we were talking about earwax with the DNA tests. And it reminded me of John Mayer saying that it was just orgasmic. And I'm like, what? And then somebody else texted 708, agreed, close my eyes and love a good ear cleaning. Another one thinks it's like a massage.
Well, I wonder if there's something to it because, like, you know, if you're, you know, dating somebody and you know, and you're still like them and you like, you know, kiss them on the neck and like, wasn't a nibbling the ear thing a thing in romance at one point?
When you're younger, I guess.
I think.
I don't know. Mean, people still do that?
I don't. Do they neck? Necking?
Neck? Oh my God, how old are you? I know we're old, but.
I don't know. I mean, I'm young.
Make out? I guess, you know, the earlobe
suck on an earlobe?
Is part of a. Not like in the ear.
I bet that's a fetish.
But if you're in, ew.
Don't you think? I mean, it's a fetish for everything.
Sucking earlobes?
Yeah.
Or?
People suck on toes.
That's
so gross.
Everybody's into their own thing, but that's just.
What if you got athlete's foot?
Stay away from the toes. That's just.
Do you get an athlete's mouth if you suck an athlete's toe?
Okay, what else can we talk about that's super gross?
It is lunchtime.
God.
You like that mayonnaise on your sandwich?
You're not a toe sucker, are you?
Hell no. Okay. I'm not even a toe looker.
You don't even look
at
them.
I don't like toes.
Let alone suck them. Okay.
I mean, I can appreciate a good female toe that's, you know...
Pedicured and nice. Yeah. You don't get much of that in the wintertime. I don't know. I don't know a lot of women that do their toes in the wintertime.
No.
I might be wrong. I know a lot of people do. They're probably like, you're crazy.
Cute socks are good.
Cute sock in the wintertime, for sure.
Or in general. I prefer a cute sock over a foot.
Really?
To see a whole foot.
You just don't like toes? Feet in general?
I mean...
I get it. I think what's your favorite body part? Without being cliche, I mean...
I would say the buttocks.
Ah, yeah. You like a good butt? I get
good,
that. Yeah.
Firm rump.
Nice butt and jeans.
Yeah. It keeps lifted up.
Well, that has
a little perky butt
for a lot of us that requires surgery now
or work it out.
So yeah, whatever,
could work out.
Did you use the word work in that? Working out?
I did.
Used the word work.
I did.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. Aren't you with a trainer these days?
Only because I don't like it. And if I don't go see him, I do not go to the gym.
Yeah.
The whole holiday break over Thanksgiving, he's like, what did you do when you were off? Ate turkey.
Nothing.
Stuffing. And I just know. I that's why I enjoyed karate so much, because you showed up and you had an instructor screaming at you and telling you what to do. If I go to the gym and I have to do stuff on my own and lift weights, it's just god awful boring.
Do you have a belt? Do you have a colored belt?
In karate?
Yeah.
I once upon a time got my black belt.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Well, so you're bad. You're a bad woman.
I always tease people that if they ask me to help defend them because I'm a black belt, that I would scream, I used to be a black belt. Because, I mean, it's been a long time since I've used any of the techniques. But who knows if it's like muscle memory and it just comes back automatically. But
I'm trying to move away from the ear subject, but I just got another text that's so good. And I just, it's bringing back memories of school. You know the Bic pens with the little the caps? And it has like that kind of like, you know, edge to it on the cap. So this texter just texted in from the 847. They should change more of the Bic stick pens. The caps were perfect for ear itching. Don't you remember that?
Oh, I never did it, but I saw kids that did it.
It had a little scoop to it.
I'll never forget this kid, George, in sixth grade that used to stick that thing in his ear, and we'd all look at him like, dude, ew.
But all the while, he was feeling so good.
Well, no, because, and I'm not lying, because one time he licked it. He licked the end of the
cap. Oh, now that's taking it too far.
Sorry.
I mean, one thing is the feeling, and maybe Kim Gordon can help us here. Kim, do you have any ear protocol?
This is so funny or very strange, but my son was in the car with me the other day, and he's like, ooh, Mom, look at this video. They're doing earwax candling. And I was like, are you kidding me? And we're sitting there watching it in the car, and the fact that you guys are talking about it is really strange.
It's
some people are into it.
It's obviously very big.
I mean, for health purposes, I mean, they sell these ear candling things at Fruitful Yield in a health store.
Some people think it's a scam. Who knows? I mean,
how could it be a scam if it were just sucked out, you know, a half a pound of wax out of your ear?
I imagine it works for you. If it works for you,
it works for everybody.
My pediatrician's office had the most amazing thing to get earwax out of a kid's ear. Like when they would look in the, you know, check your kid's ears and they couldn't see and they needed to get wax out, they would come in with a water pick and they would force the water flow like into the ear with the water pick and then just lean over and it would just knock the wax right out.
Whoa.
It was unbelievable.
Huh.
Really? That seems painful.
Wait, can we do that at home?
With a water pick?
Yeah, all you do is just like put your head to the side, take the water pick, let the water flow in. It's just that, I guess, the reverberation of the water coming out of that water pick, it just loosens the wax and it came right out.
It doesn't give you a swimmer's ear? That must be if you're really clogged.
Hold the phone, all right? We just got the best text ever. 847.
What?
All this air talk remind me that my ex-sister-in-law could achieve orgasm by rubbing her earlobe. Pretty cool, huh?
Stop. Seriously?
Wow.
Okay.
Think about the possibilities with that.
Time for the news.
Her and John Mayer.
At this point, Kim is right. It is time for the news.
All right.
Rule number 8.
That no one will ever want me. Especially not my own mother or father.
Hold on, Marcella. Don't come back to the room. Your parents don't even care enough to find out whether you're living or dying.
Wow, it's so intense just listening to that clip, and it gets me emotional just listening to it. So, it's Frank Fontana and Kathy Hart in for Bill and Wendy, and we're live from the Allstate Skyline Studio. Totally switching gears from earwax, by the way. You know, Frank, there's times in the business that you're presented with a challenge to tell a story that you've had days or weeks to ingest and absorb and prepare, and yet only a few minutes to present that story to listeners hoping for the same impact. And this is absolutely one of those times. So joining us is Steve Pemberton. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hey there. How are you?
Hey, Steve.
Fantastic.
How are you?
So the book that you wrote, A Chance in the World, I won't do it justice trying to explain it. That's why we have you on. So tell us about your book.
The title tells you everything. A Chance in the World. It came from the diary entry of a babysitter who met me at 1.5 years old. I was then in the care of my mother, who was in the middle of a losing battle with alcoholism, and seeing that he kept a diary, and he wrote in his diary this little boy doesn't have a chance in the world. I didn't see that for many, many years later. But when I did, I actually smiled because I thought, well, that's all I was looking for, was just a chance.
So you went through the foster care system, and you lived with a family that, I hate to say it, is almost stereotypical of what you see in the movies, but it's a stereotype for a reason, because it was your reality. How long were you under their care?
I was there for 11 years. You know, there are many wonderful foster families who open their homes and their hearts to children who, through no fault of their own, have been relegated to the world of the unchosen. That's where I found myself. And unfortunately for me, I wound up with a foster family who, you know, were shrewd, manipulative. You know, their ability to paint this picture of me, an inaccurate one, but nevertheless a picture of me as this kind of broken boy who was not wanted by his parents, was a label that I had to fight through my entire childhood. But fight I did.
Steve, how much of who you've become, aside from the you know, people in the great people in your life that extended their hands to you, was that bit of a fire inside of you and the knowing inside of you that you're destined for something far greater than what's right in front of you at that moment?
Frank, you found me out, because that was exactly how I saw it. I knew I was going to survive them, even though there were days I didn't know how, but I knew that I was going to. And the reason was because of how much I love to read. In the books that I read, I saw intact families. I saw kind and caring adults. I saw, for all of our talk in America today about greatness, what I saw was goodness. Mm-hmm. And that goodness came to me in interactions. People who smiled at me, someone who encouraged me to keep reading, a high school teacher who took me in just 2 days after Christmas when I finally escaped that foster home. It affirmed for me that there was still goodness in the land, and it affirmed this vision that I had that I could somehow bend the arc of all of this, yeah, and that it would never happen again.
So, speaking of books, I think this is a good segue to bring in Eric Roberts and his wife Eliza, because I believe it was through Eliza reading your book that she was so moved by it, she felt the need to reach out. And for those, a lot of people know Eric Roberts and his whole list of awards and movies. Not sure if people know what just an amazing human being he is. So, Steve, maybe you can, I think Eric, we have Eric and Eliza on the phone.
They're with us.
Steve, we're here.
Hey, guys.
We're here behind this fantastic book.
Yes. So, someone take this and tell us how you guys all got connected.
Eliza?
Well, basically, we were very interested in books, all books that have to do with issues having to do with children, families, relationships. And so we found a review of the book, and we just ordered the audio version and then became completely obsessed with finding our way to Steve.
Wow.
And we just wanted to be sure that it was going to be made into a movie. We wanted to be sure that the story got out there. We wanted to, you know, just kind of connect with this man and his family. And you know, Keaton, our son, is very involved in children's causes also. And we just knew that there would be, you know, an emotional and artistic connection that could be made. And and then it happened.
Yeah, Steve, it happened. That it did.
Hey, Steve, how does that make you feel to hear Eric and Eliza saying that they were trying to find you? You know, that's an amazing statement. You know, you put your work out there, you put your life out there, and they came to find you.
That's surreal, because I have long been a fan of Eric's. I mean, he didn't know it. Of course, it never even occurred to me that he was a fan of mine. You know,
good right? for us.
So I will tell you though that the minute we made that connection, I knew, like, immediately. You know, you see, in my world, having been denied family, my friends fill in the gaps where my family should have been. And these are people who I meet. Because, see, family's just not what you're born into. It's also who you find along the way. And it's not a lot of conversation. So when Eliza and Eric reached out to me, that was like, it was like talking to somebody in a family. And you said, yes, this was fated. It was destined. And so what happens is you're just along for the ride at that point because it's got nothing to do with you. A higher power.
That's a great way to say it, pal.
Yeah. You know, that actually happens. First of all, I had a mother's instinct because even though Steve is a grown man now, I would really like to have walked into that house back then and just taken him up, that child, up into my arms and just walked out of there and said, okay, here's our life. And so this was kind of a little kind of way to do that. And you know, that's just our instinct anyway. But there are so many times that happens to Eric because, of course, he's well known, and then he'll get excited about some person who he thought was funny in a commercial, and he'll recognize them on the street, and he'll flip out, and then they'll say, "Wait a minute, aren't you Eric Roberts?" This is all mixed up. So Steve is like a big hero to us, and it's kind of hard to process that. That he, you know, that it's mutual. And
yeah, this is so un-celebrity oriented that it's just not even on our minds that's our part in it. We just got so inspired by Steve's story, we couldn't believe it. And he not only survived, but he's a winner who could talk about it and share it so other people can overcome it. It's fantastic.
Right,
it
and is. Then when Keaton's song, which we'll be discussing in a minute, became part of it, you know, a lot of people love Keaton's music, but Steve's love, the song resonating with Steve, it just means more to us than any other fan or admirer or anyone else who's used Keaton's music for anything, because it means something. You know, it's more than just, ooh, this is fun. It means something.
Yeah.
There's so many puzzle pieces that we're putting together with this story. And I know, Steve, that you have to go, and we appreciate your time. We're going to take a break and come back and talk to Eric Roberts and his wife, Eliza, and your son, Keaton, talk about the song and kind of put all the puzzle pieces together. And Eric, I know I want to hear from you and Eliza both how you are taking Steve's story, and all of you are helping just other foster kids that may be in similar situations.
We love you, Steve.
Great.
Thanks, Steve.
Steve, thank you so much. Again, A Chance in the World, out as a book now, but I know the digital release, the movie is coming out digitally January 1st. Correct, Steve?
That is correct.
Yes, A Chance in the World. Everybody, you got to see it.
Incredible.
Awesome.
So, Steve, again, thank you. We appreciate your time, and we'll be back with Eric and Eliza Roberts.
It's 11:45.
We'll
be more with Eric and Keaton. We're back here at the Bill and Wendy Show. I'm Frank Fontana.
I'm Kathy Hart.
We've got some very special guests on the line.
Yeah, so listen to this song, a little bit of it.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, we can get more into the song. I want to listen to the whole thing.
Keep it going. Keep it going.
I know. We have very limited time. On the phone with us is Eric Roberts and his wife, Eliza. Hi again, you guys. Thanks for joining us.
Let me just get them locked in here. We all set, Jess?
Keaton's here.
Hi. And, okay, so your son, Keaton, wrote the song. Now, help me just put this all together.
Okay, Keaton, you're there, right?
Keaton is there. There was a little technical. He's going to be back on in 30 seconds. So why don't you give us a brief explanation while he's getting back on the line.
Okay, great. No problem. So basically, Keaton's been involved in causes to do with children needing to be brought to safety really his whole life, because I worked with abused kids. He was part of my group home work. There were sometimes children who came with us on outings and came to our house. And, you know, believe me, that was a lot to expose a young child to, because, you know, these kids are very, very intense. A lot of times they've been through so much. But he is, for instance, there's a program called the Natural Child Project, and Keaton is the voice of their audiobook. And he did that because he believes so much in these philosophies, just keeping kids safe, showing respect to children, just having kids live the least scary life they possibly can.
Natural Child is a school of thought that we live by.
Right. And so anyway, so he and John Nathaniel, who's a wonderful songwriter and producer, had been working on a song called Define Us. And then when we got involved with Steve and his cause, plus other child causes, a personal situation where someone's child was taken away and put in foster, quote-unquote, care, mm-hmm. Keaton and John turned this song into Find Us. And it just, the timing was just perfect. It resonated with Steve. And now, you know, we're hoping to march the song. We've made a video and everything out there to reach out to people who are in this situation, along with the film and the book.
Oh, fantastic. Eric, yeah. What do you hope to accomplish, you and your wife, with, and Keaton, all of you, in getting together to share Steve's story, A Chance in the World? I know that you're coming to Crystal Lake, I believe, the Lakeside Arts Park, in February to yeah. talk more about this. So I know you're going to be coming to town for A Chance in the World Foundation. But what message do you hope to get out in sharing Steve's message?
Awareness and understanding. As long as we're aware of it, we can prevent it.
And do you think that, I mean, because you hear a lot of stories, and like Steve said, there's good stories, too, with foster care, but
of course there are.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
there's so many stories like Steve's. Do you think that it's a situation now where it's just a challenge for the foster care system to recognize foster parents like Steve had, who are just masterminds at deception? Do you think there's been any discernible improvement as far as that goes?
Eliza?
I think, you know, first to address that whole, the whole positivity of Steve, Keaton, you're there, right?
Keaton's back with us.
Hi, Keaton.
Hi, everybody. I am
Hello,
here.
Keaton. Good to hear you, buddy.
And by the way, Eliza, Keaton was on for quite a while when you were doing the whole preamble, and Keaton, how did that feel to hear your mom talking so great about you?
It is actually completely wonderful. I texted her to say, you know, I'm here just in case you don't want to have to cover all this.
I know, because they said there was some technical difficulties. Yeah. But anyway, the point is, this is only, we're going to be so out there with all this stuff that people get a chance to hear us a lot, technical difficulties
without
or not.
Doubt,
but Keaton, when you were doing the video and Steve talked to you about wanting to see you smiling and feeling like the message was positive, what did that mean to you?
Well, I'm a big believer in positivity in general. I think positivity breeds more positivity, and if we lead with love and you know, present that as an example, then people want to get on board. And so it spoke right to my sensibilities.
Right. And even though this song, Find Us, applies to the children at the border who are separated from their parents, to kids who are in insufferably abusive foster
Absolutely.
Homes where perhaps the foster parents are doing it for the money, they're doing it for the wrong reason, adoption situations that don't work out, or just homes where there's abuse, or the kidnap situations that we all know about, I think that that what Steve feels is that what happened to him led to him devoting his life to helping other people rescue themselves. And
sure.
Find Us, if you really listen to the lyrics and the spirit of the song and the way that it surges, it kind of says that too. It kind of says, we're here, we just need to connect and get back on track and find safety. Mm-hmm. And am I correct about that? I hope I'm representing it right.
You absolutely are. And I think, listen, the details of some of these issues that we're talking about and dealing with here are so unspeakably horrendous that mm-hmm. if you get bogged down by how horrible it is, then you just get buried and there's nothing you can do. And Steve is such a beautiful example of someone who took that pain, turned it into something else, turned it into something positive. And so, you know, it makes perfect sense that he would want to, you know, that he inspired me to reflect that in the video. And that's definitely where the song is coming from as well.
Well, I can't wait to present this whole thing to the world. And again, you're going to be coming to town in February for Steve's A Chance in the World Foundation, partnering with the Lakeside Legacy Foundation to present Giving Our Children a Chance in the World. We are going to give away VIP tickets to that. We'll do that right now. 312-981-7200. We'll take caller 10 for the VIP package. You will get to meet Steve, Eric, and Eliza, and Keaton. They're all going to be there at this event. You guys sound like the most amazing family just to hang out
so
with.
So true, right?
You really do. Like, it's all just peace,
just
love and,
right?
and happiness. And I would be remiss, obviously, if I don't talk, Eric, about, you know, Julia, your sister, Emma, your daughter. I know that one of the reasons you and Emma both are avid readers, and it's one of the reasons that this whole story came about.
Yeah.
With the holidays coming up, do you guys pick out books for each other or, like, have your own little book club?
Little ritual around the holiday?
Yeah.
Well, Keaton listens to a ton of podcasts and lectures and fascinating stuff to do with science and nature and people and
true.
And turns us on to that. And then, of course,
audio. Because I'm on tour a lot, and so I listen on audio. It's I don't advise driving and reading at the same time.
No.
I'm a big audiobook guy, too. I agree with you.
Right, and then we we say everybody should get A Chance in the World for the holidays and The Natural Child for the holidays. Great books for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Sure thing.
Yeah, I just finished a book called The Upward Spiral that's all about positivity and positive thinking and neuroplasticity and stuff. It's super cool.
So into it.
There's a great book that I just finished called A Noise Downstairs.
And what's it about, briefly?
We're a book club now. Steve loved The Upward Spiral, Keaton. I turned him on to it.
Oh, good.
I mean, that really is, think about it, the first words to find us is, can you define love? And this really is about love. It's love that rescued Steve. And our family, you commented on, and you know, we're a family, so we have all the same junk as other families.
Sure.
It's all about how you deal with it, how you overcome the challenges.
Very true.
You all do seem very positive and very loving, and it's wonderful. We certainly need more of that in the world, and what you're doing, we could talk for hours, literally, about this stuff, what you guys are doing.
As a family, we end up having fun every single day.
That's beautiful.
As you should. So, thank you again for your time, Eric and Eliza Roberts and Keaton Simons, A Chance in the World. It's digital, the movie released January 1st. Keaton, is there another place that we can go hear your music?
Well, you can find it on my website, KeatonSimons.com, or iTunes, Spotify, all of it, Pandora, Amazon. You can get it anywhere. If you just search Keaton Simons.
Okay. And Eric, do you have any movies?
We're going to have to get Brett Young to let him off tour to come to the event. So that's the next thing we have to work on.
He's so prolific. There's so much good
stuff. There's tons of good stuff. But anyway, you guys, thank you for doing this with us. We just loved every minute.
Thank you, guys. And real quick,
guys. Mwah.
Thank you, Eric. We appreciate it. Have a great holiday. Keaton, by the way, listening to the song, it has that movie-like build-up, and you feel it. It feels good, man. And not seeing the movie, I felt the escalation. I felt it all, brother. So good stuff, man.
Thank you so much.
You got it, buddy. All right, we're going to get a little break here. Coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.